This is Dana Monsees, the nutritionist and Whole30 certified coach behind Real Food with Dana, and you're listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast. Hey guys, hope you're having a fantastic week so far, and welcome to episode 8. I believe, of the Real Talk with Dana podcast. So this week, I'm really excited because I have another amazing guest on the podcast this week. Her name is Melissa of Melissa's Food Freedom, and we are going to be talking all about Whole30 reintroduction because it is that time of the year, and tips for your Whole30 food freedom. Plus, what we've both learned from trials and total failures during our own personal reintroductions, our own food freedoms, and how not to faceplant into a box of chocolates or pizza or ice cream on day 31 of your Whole30. And just a side note before we do get started with the episode, I probably don't say this enough, but if you do love the podcast, which I really hope that you do, please head over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review over there so we can help other people find the podcast and spread the good food word. And if you guys have a question or topic that you would love me to cover on the podcast, feel free to shoot me an email, send me a message on Instagram or Facebook, or, you know, wherever you can find me, because I love hearing from you guys and I am all ears for things that you would love me to talk about. So our guest today is Melissa Herbst of the Instagram account Melissa's Food Freedom, where she shares her life after Whole30 through recipes, restaurant hacks, meal prep tips, and product reviews. She's probably best known for her Whole30 recipes like her Everything Bagel Sweet Potato Egg Cups, which are freaking delicious. I have tried them myself. And her saucy, crispy buffalo chicken tenders. She recently completed an in-depth 19-day Whole30 reintroduction, following her fifth round of Whole30 this past summer, and she loves inspiring others to conquer their Whole30 and figure out their life afterwards. So you can check Melissa out at Melissa's Food Freedom on Instagram. And let's get right to the interview here. Okay, guys, I'm super pumped to have Melissa from Melissa's Food Freedom on the podcast today. So why don't you introduce yourself for anyone who doesn't know you?
Hey everybody, I'm Melissa and I run the Instagram account Melissa's Food Freedom. It's all about my life living post Whole30 and just living equipped with the knowledge and the tools that I've gained from the Whole30. So the way that I eat and my food habits were found through several rounds of Whole30, and that really has helped me figure out how to just feel my best and know how to eat the right foods and see how my body will react that way. So my page is just all about my life post Whole30 and then the rounds that are interspersed in between.
Awesome. And you also just had your 1-year anniversary of creating the Instagram, right? So, and honestly, it's crazy to me how much you've grown in 1 year. Like, I know when I started my Instagram, after 1 year, I probably had like 500 followers and you have so many thousand already. So it's like kind of insane. But what inspired you to start, like, to create the account and start documenting your journey?
I think it was community. I wanted community. So I live right now, I was living in Milwaukee and now I live in rural Wisconsin. There's no Whole Foods or Trader Joe's out here. I have to trek out to find my food and my people. And I was just really looking for an online way to connect with other Whole30ers. And it's just been awesome to connect with so many like-minded people and be able to share and get really excited about milk frothers and salad dressings and things and have people understand.
Love it. So kind of in that light, what led you to the Whole30 itself?
Sure. So I was not someone who necessarily would have been your person you would expect to do a Whole30, I would say. I was a total Diet Coke addict. I was on a weight loss journey towards the end of my weight loss journey when I found the Whole30, and I felt like, oh, balance works. I'm fine. So I went to lunch with someone and they were like, my roommate and I are doing a Whole30. Will you do it with me? And I was like, no. This is Wisconsin. Cheese, beer, like, no way. I'm not doing this. I don't want to do it. I found what works for me. So 3 months passed, and I watched this girl and her roommate just kill it, like feeling so awesome, acting so energetic, so happy, looking so great, just doing really well in the Whole 30 and post Whole 30. And I just wanted that. I got it then. I saw it with my own eyes and I wanted it too. So I did my first round in August of 2015, and I've been embarrassingly obsessed with the program ever since.
That's amazing. I don't think you're embarrassingly obsessed with it. You've just figured out exactly what works for you, and you've figured out a really good way to teach other people how to do that too.
Yeah. And like in person, it's super funny. I don't know if you feel this way too, but if someone, like I had recently a friend who knows I do the Whole 30 but doesn't know about my page or anything, and they were like, I think I'm going to do a Whole 30. Will you help me? And I had to control my enthusiasm, be like, oh, sure, that sounds great. When inside I was like, yes, Whole 30 friend, let's do all the things.
Oh my gosh, it's kind of like, this is a very similar situation. I know you'll appreciate this. It's like when I have friends or, you know, people whose kids are just finding out about Harry Potter for the first time, and I have to like contain my enthusiasm because I'm like, oh my God, I want to tell you every single thing about Harry Potter. Like, can I read it to you? Can I help you with these things? Can I indoctrinate you? Oh my God, I just get so excited. So very similar.
Oh, let me just show you all of my merch and all of my things and all of my editions of all of my books.
Right, exactly. So back to the Whole 30. One of my favorite parts of the program personally is that it's not just a way of eating to figure out what foods are best for you, but you actually get to learn a lot of things about yourself and about the foods that are going to work best for you throughout the Whole 30. And even afterwards, in what they call your food freedom, you get to learn about the way that you interact with food once the program is over. So what are some of the things that you've learned about yourself or about your habits during your many different Whole 30s?
So the biggest revelation that I've had through the Whole 30 is that the food choices we make and the eating habits that we have truly do influence every aspect of our lives. And it never occurred to me before the Whole 30 that there is such a strong and clear pattern in bad foods leading to bad moods, leading to bad relationships, leading to more bad food, leading to bad skin, and then low self-esteem, and it just goes on and on. So the Whole 30 gave me a chance to reset my food and reset my habits in such a huge way, and it helped me kind of see the things in my life that needed tweaking, helped me find the source to those things in my life I wanted to make better. And a lot of those things I didn't even realize needed improvement until I started the Whole 30. So that's one thing I've, one of many things that I've learned about myself. Let me think of another one. Oh, okay. So another big thing is that for me, gluten leads me to enormous sugar cravings. Like eating gluten brings me to sugar. And I don't have a sweet tooth naturally, but if you give me a soft pretzel or a bagel or something, I'm like ready for Dunkin' Donuts. So the source behind certain food cravings was really eye-opening. And speaking of that, so Dunkin' Donuts on the East Coast, because you're on the East Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm in
DC. It's like a whole other thing compared to the Midwest. Are you, like, you know this, right?
Yeah, people, so at least in DC, it's not as much. Most people just go to Starbucks, or like there's a big emphasis on like local coffee shops and stuff here. But my parents are from New Jersey, and every time we go up there, like everybody has to have their Dunkin' every single morning. Or like if you go up to Boston or like Massachusetts or anything, like everyone is obsessed with Dunkin' Donuts. Like Starbucks, no way, take me to Dunkin'. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you know what is weird is I ordered a coffee and they're like, do you want it regular? And I was like, yeah, I want a regular coffee. And they gave it to me with like, it had like all this sugar and milk and stuff when I was out there. Do you know what that means? Like it's like a regular coffee means like it has like cream and sugar in it and stuff.
No.
Yeah, it must be something that's like more in Boston, because I was in Boston, but I ordered a regular coffee and I was there with someone from Boston and they were like, yeah, regular does not mean black.
Oh, that's weird. I never would have thought of that. Good to know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right. Okay, so the main topic that I want to get into today is Whole 30 reintroduction tips and mistakes, because the time that this episode comes out, like towards the end of January, anyone who's doing the January Whole 30 is going to be either freaking out because reintroduction is coming soon, or they're like, oh my God, I can't wait to eat all of the things on day 31 that I haven't been able to eat for the Whole 30. So
Definitely.
What are some of your top tips for Whole30 reintroduction, besides obviously not face planting into a box of chocolates?
Yeah. So I think one thing that I would say is that it might feel right now like we're recording this on the 12th day of the January Whole30. And right now, especially the last few days, a lot of us do feel like when day 30 comes, I'm going to eat everything. I'm going to eat all this junk food, because a lot of us are still dealing with the fat adaption process. We're still dealing with the remaining sugar dragon that we have in our system. And I think that by the time we get to day 30, and this has happened every single time I've done a Whole30, by the time you get to day 30, you feel that tire blood and you don't feel those cravings you used to feel anymore. So if someone's really worried about just ruining everything in their reintroduction and it's your first round, just hold out, because tiger blood is coming and you're not going to crave those things so heavily like you probably do right now midway through your Whole30. So I'll say that. And then the other side of the coin, like you mentioned, is people just being in fear of reintroduction because they feel so great and they don't want anything to change. And I totally get that, because I'm an upholder and I'm really good with the yes or no and the black or white, and entering into kind of the gray is scary. So even my first Whole30, I extended it not out of health reasons or because I felt like I hadn't reached my tiger blood yet, but I was just so afraid of losing my tiger blood, which is totally fair, but there's just so much you can learn from just equipping yourself with the information that a reintroduction will give you. So moving on to your actual question about just some of my top tips. My biggest one is to be really, really careful about added sugar in the fast track reintroduction. And I would recommend the fast track reintroduction for Whole30 years, because the slow roll is great. It kind of prolongs your tiger blood. But oftentimes when that thing comes around that you really want, it's not just one food group. And then you eat something knowing how it's going to affect you. Just be really careful about added sugar and reintroduction, because it's almost inevitable that you're going to reintroduce added sugar when you reintroduce gluten and dairy and grains. But if you reintroduce cheesecake as your dairy instead of, say, yogurt or something, the effects are going to be mixed in with the sugar, and you're not going to know the next day if dairy affects your skin and with breakouts or sugar affects your skin with breakouts. So that doesn't mean no added sugar in your reintro. I definitely don't do no added sugar in my reintro. So for example, I really love Square bars. It's a protein bar, and most of them have double digit protein and single digit sugar. And that's something that's like sweeter that I can have as a gluten-free grain that doesn't have dairy or anything like that. So it's not to not have anything sweetened in your reintro, but just be careful that you're not loading the sugar on in your reintro, because it's going to affect your result with each food group. So yeah. And what else? For people on their third or fourth round of the Whole30, people who have done a few Whole30s and are planning on doing another reintro, something I did in my last round of Whole30 this summer that was really fun and really new and different was extending my reintro from a 10-day fast track reintro to a 19-day reintro. So I added combos, I call them, which is basically I do the first 10 days by the book, then I do alcohol day 11, and then I do gluten dairy together, so like pizza or something, day 14. I actually called it pizza reintro day. It has its own thing, I swear. And like sugar dairy, day 17. And you can choose whatever combos you want. But if you've done a couple Whole30s and you're kind of looking for a different way to do a reintro, if you've kind of mastered the fast track and want to try something different, I would really recommend extending it. But it's not for the faint of heart, because it's almost 20 days and you know, your Whole30 is already 30 days. So you've already kind of got to be ingrained a little bit if you want to do that. But it is very interesting and I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, definitely. I really like that idea, especially because, so as you were saying before, like you might not have a problem with one food group by itself, but then say you combine like the gluten and the sugar and then it's just like, whoa, like now I want all the things. But if you had them separately in smaller amounts, you would probably be fine.
Yeah, that's totally me. Like, I can have rice, I can have, like different gluten-free grains or something like that. But if you throw dairy on that, then that's when I start having issues personally.
Yeah. So one interesting thing that I guess was brought awareness to when I was at the Whole30 book signing in DC last week, one of the questions that someone asked Melissa Hartwig was, if you have to do a reintroduction every single time you do the Whole30. And I was actually kind of surprised because as someone who's done, I think I've done about six or seven of them at this point. And for me personally, like I know what foods affect me, so I might kind of assume that I don't need to do, even the fast track reintroduction because I mean, I have celiac, so I can never eat like gluten or anything. But even things like dairy or beans, like I pretty much know how they affect me, but it was really interesting for me to hear her say, you need to do the reintroduction every time. Because, and it makes total sense, if you're doing a Whole30 a year apart or even 6 months apart, your body's in a totally different situation with your stress levels, like if you're sick, if you're working out, and like your reaction to different foods can definitely change over time. So, say now you introduce like lentils and beans and stuff and they seem fine, but then you do another Whole30 this coming September, so almost 9 months away. You might do it and be like, ooh, that hummus is really not working for me now. So I just thought that was super interesting.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Myself personally, I was living almost completely grain-free for the first year and a half or so, almost 2 years after I discovered the Whole30. And this summer, I did a reintro and realized that gluten-free grains are totally cool with my body. And they do add a lot of variety to my meals post Whole30. And so now I don't do grain-free. I mean, a lot of my lunches and breakfasts and things like that are naturally Whole30. But yeah, it does change. And I agree, you should always do a reintro.
Yeah, I actually, that's interesting because I found out the same thing. The first couple of years that I was doing eating paleo and then I was also like doing Whole30s in between, like I was pretty much terrified to eat even like gluten-free oats and quinoa and rice because like I was convinced that my gut was still so messed up that I couldn't eat them. And then one day I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna eat rice and like who cares? Because I didn't used to feel good at all when I ate rice. And I ate it and was like, oh my God, I have so much more energy. Like this is amazing. So it's great to figure out things that you didn't used to tolerate well. And now, after you've healed up your gut and you've figured out your relationship with these foods and how they affect you, that you can create more variety in your food freedom and like not feel bad about it and know it's not going to affect you badly.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think like you personally, you have celiac, so like you have your own, thing. But for people who I would say choose labels, not like something that has maybe like a moral attachment to it, like being vegetarian or something, but like labels like paleo, gluten-free, dairy-free, and things like that. Even though I do adhere to a lot of those labels, I try to avoid using them most of the time because my body is always changing and my diet is changing. And sometimes I just, really do want something that has gluten and dairy in it, and I don't want to feel like it's a sin to, eat something outside of my own label. So I think that's something really important to consider soon too in reintro. I think a lot of times people come out of their reintroduction and they're like, I'm a gluten-free eater or I'm a paleo eater from now on. And don't be so quick to just choose a label for yourself because honestly, it does take a couple of rounds to get a feel for how your body works and how your body changes and how you should be eating. It's not just so simple as choosing a label, I think.
Right, exactly. And then in that same light, another tip that I give people all the time, and I know you talk to people about this too, is that you don't want to have to rely on the Whole30 to become like a whole 100 or like a three whole 365 because that's really not the intention of the program. Like it might be really helpful for you to extend the program for like a few weeks or something if you feel you haven't gotten your target blood like your tiger blood yet. You haven't gotten a handle on your sugar cravings, on your relationship with food, or even if like you're trying to recover from an injury or prepare for a competition or you've got autoimmune stuff going on, like that is totally fine. But I really see problems and almost creating more of a messed up relationship with food for the people that try and do it for, you know, 100 days or a year, because then at that point they become so scared of foods that aren't on the Whole 30 plan or so dogmatic that they're like, oh no, I don't eat that food, you know, going back to the whole labels thing. But part of the goal of the Whole 30 is to help you learn how to live well and like to build a healthy lifestyle outside of the guidelines of the Whole 30.
Exactly. And I think it is also worth saying that you need to watch why you're doing a Whole 30 and when you're doing a Whole 30, because especially for people who do a longer rounds of Whole 30, sometimes people can use Whole 30 as a punishment for meals that they regret, even maybe a meal that they chose to eat mindfully and made a mindful decision, and it just their body didn't react well to it. Be really careful how you're thinking about the Whole 30, and it's definitely not that Whole 30 eating is right and eating everything else is wrong. So I would just mention that as well, that don't jump on a Whole 30 every time you regret a meal. That's a huge lesson that I think all long-time Whole 30ers have struggled with at some point, just feeling like, oh, that was a terrible weekend. Maybe I should just do a whole nine. But when we start to think that way, I think we're starting to view food as punishment for food mistakes. And honestly, those mistakes are so helpful because we can learn from them. We shouldn't regret them. I mean, you're not going to know unless a mistake happens, right? So learn from them, write them down, post about them on Instagram and things like that.
Right. It's all part of the learning process. And like you said, the Whole 30 is supposed to be used as a tool to figure out what works best for you and basically what you can get away with without feeling like crap, right? It's not supposed to be realistic for you to hang on to the Whole 30 guidelines forever. And then also, like you were saying, on the other hand, you don't want to do 30 days of the Whole 30, fall totally off the wagon, and then be like, oh, it's fine, I'll just do it again next month, and then start to rely on the Whole 30 as like a quick fix diet type thing every other month. Because when people start just relying on, you know, the yes, no foods lists, that's when it gets picked up by US News as like, oh, the Whole 30 is such a restrictive diet and all this stuff, because they're not. If you follow the Whole 30 just as a yes, no foods list, yeah, it does look like a pretty restrictive diet. But if you follow the guidelines where you're trying to figure out, like, what are my habits and my relationship with food, and how can I figure out a better way for me to live going forward based on the knowledge that I gain in the Whole 30, rather than just having to follow a yes, no foods list all the time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Okay, awesome. So speaking of that and going on into like post Whole 30 and reintroduction and stuff, what is your Whole 30 food freedom? What does that look like for you?
Sure. So first I'll just say that I'm really blessed because I don't have any major food group that causes major or lasting damage to my body. So just take what I say with a grain of salt and know that my own food freedom is as free as I want it to be, fortunately, and any effects I have on a food group won't usually last more than like 5 to 7 days of mild discomfort. So keep that in mind. But anyway, my mindset for food freedom is basically freedom in making the food choices and setting the food habits that I want, because I have all the knowledge and the tools that I need to make the best decision for myself on that day and in that moment. So I think what's amazing about food freedom and my own food freedom is that I don't have to give myself a label, like I said earlier, and I can just evaluate every bite of every food of every meal for myself personally, because I'm armed with that power and that knowledge to do so. And that is such a freeing and empowering feeling. And it didn't happen after the first 30 days of my first Whole 30. I've been aware of the Whole 30 for 2.5 years, and I've done around about every 6 months. And it's taken a while to get a feel from that. But I would say the biggest thing about my food freedom is just being armed with the knowledge about my own body that I've learned through reintros, and eating accordingly.
And then I saw in, I forget if it was November or December, but you were doing actually like a mini Whole 30 reset. So can you talk about what that looks like and how you incorporate that into your food freedom?
Sure. So I love a mini reset. I usually do one probably every, it's definitely not planned. It's when I feel like I need just a little bit of a reset, but not a full whole 30. And it's probably like every 6 or 8 weeks, honestly, that I jump on and I do a whole 5 or a whole 9, usually a whole 9, which is basically the same rules as a whole 30, but just for 9 days. So for 9 days, I don't step on the scale. I follow all the whole 30 rules. I don't eat any whole 30 treats or anything like that. And then I don't usually do a full formal reintro for those things, but I do more of a slow roll coming out of just a whole 9. But I really like the length of 9 days because, and I've had a lot of people ask me why 9. I just made it up, really. I didn't make it up. It was originally, I think, the name of it, at the end of It Starts With Food. I think that's what the original thing was, whole 9. But anyway, I just did whole 9 because if I go more than 10 days, like I've tried doing like a 14-day reset, and you're like halfway through a whole 30 at that point, and I'm always just tempted to finish it out. And like at day 14 on the program, you've kind of gotten through a lot of the major stuff, and you want to kind of do the downhill, you know, enjoyment of tiger blood. So if you do it longer than 10 days, it can be hard to not just do a full whole 30. And if you do just 5 or 6 days, a lot of times you get past your cravings and your habits in check, but sometimes sugar still has underlying issues. So 9 days is really the amount of days that I like to do. And yeah, I just do it when I feel like I need it, really. I can tell you a ton of humorous examples of moments in my life that I realized I needed a reset. I think one of the funniest ones was a couple of months ago. I knew I needed a mini reset because I found like a little bit of frosting on the handle of my car door. Like I had been eating something with frosting on it and like left a little bit of frosting on the handle. And I was like, wow, if I'm eating something with frosting on it in my car, I think it's time for another reset.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing all of that. I actually don't have any more questions for now. So why don't you just tell people where they can find you and what you're most excited about with your Instagram and the Whole30 and stuff right now?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram with Melissa's Food Freedom. No spaces or anything like that. It's just the Instagram account. I don't have a website or anything. So you can connect with me there. And right now I'm on my 6th round of the Whole30, going through the January Whole30, and I started on January 1st. So I'm posting a ton of Whole30 compliant meals and tips. My most recent story highlight that I just posted is how to have like the best Whole30 meal at Chipotle. I have a ton of hacks on that. Just kind of more than just recipe ideas, but meal ideas and just practical tips for living on the Whole30 this month. So yeah, come join me.
Yeah, Melissa's killing it, you guys. You definitely need to go check her out for not only Whole30 food freedom tips and tricks and recipes, but like just even in general, all of her recipes and ideas she posts are just very amazing. She's also, I have to say, probably the number one proponent of my buffalo chicken dip. Like, you probably have made it more times than I have, and that is saying something. So,
oh my goodness. I'm making it again on Tuesday. It's on my meal plan.
Yes. Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm going to try, because normally I'm so lazy with it, because if you guys have made the recipe, it's literally just like buffalo sauce and mayo and chicken and ranch. And literally every time I make it, I should make it a lot cheaper. I'm going to try to make it cheaper this time. But I literally just buy the Primal Kitchen mayo and the Primal Kitchen ranch and like literally cooked canned chicken. Like I make it as possible. And a lot of my recipes are really lazy versions of fancy things that other people make, basically.
Yeah, but that's a great way to do it, too. Like, I hadn't even thought of that, because when I made it for the first time, I did the complete opposite and made it totally from scratch. So I, like, made the mayo, I made the ranch, obviously right. I didn't make the buffalo sauce, but then I did, like, a slow cooker chicken and just shredded it. So you can do – it's really good to know that you can do, like, the totally from scratch, or you could do, like, the totally most convenient way – and both of them still taste amazing. So whatever you have on hand, you can just kind of meet it in the middle and it'll still taste great.
Yeah, definitely. And I first had it because I was having people over with like 2 hours notice, and I was doing a 9-day reset at the time. And I was like, what am I going to make that everyone's going to like, that's going to be Whole30, that's going to be able to be made in like 2 hours? And it's that dip. So yes, I am a high proponent of that recipe for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. This was an awesome interview, and we'll definitely have to do it again.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you guys loved this episode and found it super helpful with all these fun tips for Whole30 reintroduction and food freedom. So don't forget to go check out Melissa at Melissa's Food Freedom on Instagram for amazing Whole30 reintroduction and food freedom inspiration, tips, and of course her delicious easy recipes. And as always, you can find me, Dana, over at Real Food with Dana on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and the blog at realfoodwithdana.com. I'll talk to you guys soon.